Holy Scripture tells us that both the Lord Jesus and his foster father Joseph were carpenters. But what exactly does that mean? There are many kinds of carpenters, after all. The word used by both Matthew and Mark that we translate carpenter is tekton. Carpenter is one way of translating that Greek word, but there are others like artisan or builder. In fact, in Greek, an architekton is the chief builder, the architect. So Joseph and Jesus were tekton. And although it isn't said explicitly in Scripture, we may infer that there was a shop at their home in Nazareth. We don't know exactly when Joseph died, but Jesus did not begin his public ministry until he was 30 years old, meaning that we may reasonably infer he was there in Nazareth throughout his teens and 20s, acquiring a trade and honing it to perfection. Tekton could mean an artisan who carves wood or stone. And since the tradition has always been to render it carpenter, we may infer they were wood carvers, the sort of craftsman to whom one would go for custom furniture or cabinets or works of art. And one of the most commonly made wooden implements of that time and place was a device used to allow two oxen to pull together and increase their capacity to carry a load. It was a wooden beam called a yoke. Now, you could buy a yoke off the rack, we might say, designed to do what it could for animals of any size or shape. But you could also get custom-made yokes, designed and crafted explicitly for an individual animal or team of animals so that the yoke fit the contours of the beast perfectly, so that it wouldn't chafe, creating blisters and wounds and diminishing the ability of the animals to do their work. It's not a great stretch of the imagination to see St. Joseph and the Lord Jesus in that shop at Nazareth making really fine yokes. Whatever may be the case, he certainly knew what a yoke was, the physical wooden implement. And with that hands-on background in mind, let's hear again the comfortable words of the Savior, spoken in today's Gospel from chapter 11 of St. Matthew. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice, please, that in this text, where the central image is of the yoke, which is to be laid upon our shoulders, that we may carry a burden, the central image is connected not to doing more work, but to finding rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. Meaning that the Lord Jesus does not seek to lay upon us ever heavier burdens, crushing us under the weight of rules we can't keep, expectations we cannot live to. Precisely the reverse. He seeks to enable us to bear all the things we must bear as children of Adam in such a way that we find the burdens manageable, and not just manageable, but transformed by grace through faith. Since the Enlightenment, Western man has more and more regarded biblical religion, the Bible itself, the God of the Bible, the gospel of Christ and his church, as the enemies of human freedom because of the endless disputes about human morality. But while the Bible does contain a moral code, revealed religion is not a moral code. It is the encounter of the living God with every man, woman, and child. And the God who came to us as a babe, the son of Mary, who learned this craft in his foster father's shop at Nazareth, comes to invite us, not to compel us to follow him. Because in following him, we find our freedom and our dignity. We lose nothing of our human dignity when we take the yoke of Christ upon us. That is, the yoke of his cross. Instead, we find rest. An essential part of authentic Christian discipleship is committing parts of the Bible to memory, or better, we might say, learning them by heart. Every mature Christian should know by heart one or two or several psalms, your favorites, a few verses of scripture that speak to you particularly, and most especially the texts that are usually called the comfortable words of the Savior, the words designed to console us and sustain us in the midst of suffering. Because, friends, to live is to suffer. To live long is to suffer much. There is, of course, great beauty and joy in human life, but there is no escape from the suffering. Sometimes it's suffering that comes to us beyond our capacity to control, like illness or unemployment. Sometimes it's the sins of those closest to us, those we love. Sometimes it's our own sins that cause us to suffer. When we wallow in pride and lust and anger and gluttony and sloth and all the rest, and wear ourselves out in the heedless pursuit of pleasure and profit and power. And in those moments, whatever their source, the Savior says, "Come to me. Don't flee. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. All who labor and are heavy laden by sin, yours or someone else's, and I will give you rest." I encourage you right now, today, to begin to memorize these three verses of Matthew's Gospel. I learned them from the Revised Standard Version, which differs just a bit from the text we heard proclaimed today, from the New American Bible. My suggestion is this: whatever Bible you use regularly to pray and study with, that's the text to memorize. One of the difficulties in our day in the memorization of Scripture is that you hear one text proclaimed in public and you might be reading another in private. Whatever, it still can be done to commit these words to memory, to learn them by heart. Because when the suffering comes, there may not be a Bible at hand, or if it's on your phone, you might not have a data connection. When I was a young man, I considered a career in the armed forces of the United States. In fact, I served for a while in the field artillery of the United States Army. And in the early cold months of 1982, I found myself at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Go to the brightest center of the universe and then the point furthest from it. That's Lawton. One fine day, I found myself with a dilemma. A superior officer had given me a direct and lawful order, and I felt bound by my conscience to disobey it. The particulars of the dispute are for another time. I was convinced at the time that I was right. I would say now that I was wrong, but at the moment I was seeking to obey my conscience, and I felt bound by that conscience to disobey a lawful order. And in the armed forces, that's a crime. And I was punished accordingly with 7 days in the post-correctional confinement facility, military jail. Every waking moment was a torment. The jailers weren't brutal. They knew their limits and they did their jobs, but they were there to break us, and every moment was a torment. So if I was awake, I was praying. It's the only thing that sustained me, and the words that kept coming to me more than any other were these. I was able to do that because I'd committed these words to memory. I'd learned them by heart. And when the Word of God is written in our hearts, then no matter what, we must endure. The tender mercies of God in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ come to us in a way that transforms our hearts and enables us to bear all suffering. So learn these words. And when the hour of tribulation comes, call upon them with faith, hope, and love. Call upon the Word made flesh, who says to you, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."